focus called Intentional Mentoring. I'm not going to mention all their names, but we're going to scroll through them up there. And they are still some of them finishing that, which will end this month. Intentional Mentoring is one of those programs or focuses in the church that multiplies. And its whole intent is to mentor people who can mentor people, or what we call making disciples who can make disciples who can make disciples. Personally participating with this group, it was a joy for me. We met each month, and we would meet for 3 hours. We would have read through a book, had written a paragraph, a page about our personal interaction with that book and its application to us. We would memorize scripture, and then we would come together for 3 hours, and you think, man, that's a long time. It wasn't long enough. And we shared together, and there was a bond that happened between us. I know in my group, I look forward to the intentional mentoring time. Well, those folks are graduating today, and here's what they have committed to. Committed to mentoring, discipling other people. So you may be a person who receives some of the blessings of this year's mentoring. If we have just half of the 44 people doing this, then we'll have 22 people who are intentionally mentoring this next year. And then if you can imagine exponentially what that's going to be in 3 or 4 or 5 years with people intentionally mentoring, growing up, discipling other people. So, but we wanted to recognize those people. If you were a part of the intentional mentoring like myself, would you stand? If you're a part of the intentional mentoring. Okay. Well, I just personally pray that God uses you to mentor and encourage and grow others up, lead them into Christ, grow them up in Christ in the coming years. Father, would you bless what we are doing? We're following Jesus' example of personally meeting and discipling with the intent so those people can disciple. So those people can disciple. Bless this ministry, we pray in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, there was a knock on the door. It was mid-morning. And I went to answer it, and I looked through our double doors. You could see who it was, and I did not know who the young man was that was standing on the other side. So I opened the door, invited him in. He declined. I said, look, I'm your neighbor. And we thought we'd met most of our neighbors, but we had missed him. He said, I'm your neighbor, and I wanted to invite you to a party. We're having a party tonight. And says that there'll be a live band and plenty of kegs of beer. And he says, by the way, it may be a little loud, but I want to personally invite you. I gratefully declined his invitation. And Saturdays, I usually set aside Saturday afternoon, Saturday evenings to focus on the message and just kind of prepare myself. And so that was not where I wanted to be, next door at the party. But it was interesting, when they set up the band, the speakers were aimed right at my house. And so here I am, Saturday night, trying to get into work, trying to prepare my spirit, and this honky-tonk music is just coming at me. And it's literally vibrating through the walls of my house. And the young man was so polite. If he had not come over, I would have gone over there. But I tried to endure. And I fortunately made it through the night. In fact, it started raining. And so their fire, they had a big bonfire. And they were sure gulping down the brew. And the songs that they were singing, "Here I Am Trying to Glorify God." And they were doing the opposite in their songs. It was quite a night of contrast. The rain kind of put a damper on the party, and so I'm glad that it ended. But the next morning, as I'm leaving for church, there's still a bunch of them out there trying to resurrect the fire, still gulping down the brew. And the sun was starting to come out. And I thought, that's interesting, this contrast that was going on. Here's what I realize. God is just and fair whether or not I understand his ways. God's just and he's fair. And his word says that nature distributes without any partiality. It rained on their side of the property, on mine. The sun came out on their side of the property and mine. And Jesus said this, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God's not partial. I think of the weather that we've experienced just a few months ago in September when Irma came through. Now, we feel like we escaped, and we did, especially if you compare living in Puerto Rico. But God's weather is not partial. Doesn't matter if you're a Christ follower or not, it's the same. And you look at some of the things that happen with the weather, you know. I go to Romans, the 8th chapter, says that nature itself is groaning under the sin curse of this earth. Because the fall didn't just affect Adam and Eve and all of us. It affected the very nature of God's creation. So 99.9% of the time, God's sun comes up, God's seasons come in, God's nature is continued to go, but there's that percentage of time where it is groaning, and it doesn't matter when it groans if you are a Christ follower or not. You see, God is just and fair. Whether or not you and I understand the natural disasters that happen. There's a young couple that visited our church, and they were looking for fellowship, like a lot of people are. And I connected with them and tried to connect them with other young couples. And the young girl was pregnant with her first. And they were excited about this new birth that was coming. They lived right off of Highway 50. I remember visiting them, following up with some things that they had requested. And again, trying to get them connected to other people in the church. And we began to build somewhat of a relationship as they kept coming for a few months. And then I'll never forget the phone call after the birth. The call was, "Can you come? The baby is dead." We all experience the horrors of death. By the way, all of us are living under a curse of death. You know that, don't you? None of us are getting out of this alive. But there is something about the innocence of a child that affects us all. And I'll not forget walking into their apartment with EMT people, policemen, neighbors, people there. And remembering the heartache of that young woman who was just beside herself. Her young husband was trying to comfort her. And when they saw me, it felt like they broke down again. You see, what had happened, she was nursing the baby in bed, and somehow she fell asleep on the child and smothered it. Can you imagine that? They were searching for some help. A neighbor lady, you know, not forget this, said, "How can God do this?" And I had to realize God is just and fair whether or not I understand his ways. There was real pain in the life of that couple. And pain is a part of the world that you and I live in every day. Now, you may be in pain this morning, maybe the pain of a relationship, the pain of a financial struggle, the pain of emotions. It's more than just physical. Sometimes it's many, mentally, emotionally, a spiritual pain and struggle. But pain, it's part of this life. And I couldn't help think what First Peter says, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor. Have you ever thought about the pain in your life bringing praise and glory and honor to God? Most of us don't think of it that way. But God is just. His ways are not my ways or yours. His thoughts are not ours. But he takes the hurt and the pain, and yes, even the death of this life, and he can use it for his honor and his glory. I know of some people who have affected folks, more folks in their death than they did in their life. Pain's just a part of the world that we lived in. It began back in Genesis 3, and it's continued, and it will until God gives us a new heaven and a new earth, and all the pain and the tears and the brokenness are gone. You see, God is just and fair whether you understand him or not. He knows what he's doing. And here's what I've come to understand. And we've been in this study about the God who wants to know you. If you know that God is all-powerful, he is all-knowing, he is always present, he is love, he is all-loving. If you understand that about God, then you can deal with his justice a whole lot better if you know that about him. Because he knows my life and my pain from my beginning to my end. He knows everything that's going on. And pain is just a part of following Christ. In 1 Peter 3, it says that we should follow in his steps. Do you know anybody that suffered more pain than Jesus? I don't. There's another place in 1 Peter, he says, why do you act like it's strange that this calamity, this tragedy, this pain is coming into your life? It's just natural, because we have a God who's just and fair, even though we can't grasp his ways. He's at work. He's making all this happen. Dave, come on. You're talking about some horrific things that happened. I know, but my God is at work. He is in control. He is sovereign over all. There's not a thing that's going to happen that he doesn't know about. I worked with that young couple in their grief, in the loss of their child. And then they quit attending church. I later heard that the husband wasn't able to continue the relationship, that they were divorcing. And I think the waves of pain and hurt and how they go on. But God is just. He's in control. He's fair. Even though my spirit, my finite mind can't understand how he is working, God is a judge of the universe who is just and fair. Just because you don't understand him or understand his ways doesn't change who he is. Well, I understand God's justice because I am quite aware of my own rebellion. Have any of you had to stand before a judge in a traffic court when you knew you were guilty? I've been there a number of times. And the last time I was making an appeal to the judge. Yeah, I'd been ticketed speeding, Old Fort Dade Road. And I tried to explain to the officer, but they weren't having it. So I was going to take my chances and make an appeal to the judge. Now, we brought up our kids, teaching them that don't come after me with stuff, but if you want to make a righteous appeal. And a righteous appeal is this. If you can give me more information to make a better decision, I may reverse or change my decision. For instance, we'd quit playing the game, Mom's got supper on the road. Dad, we got 5 minutes and we're done. Okay, that's an appeal. All right, finish the game. We'll wait for you to do that. Turn off the TV. It's time to eat. Dad, we just got started. Turn it off. An appeal. I went to the judge, and my appeal was this. Sir, I just purchased this car, and I had. It was a used car. It was a Honda, and I said, I just purchased this car, and was made aware that the speedometer would stop working sometimes. It would just stop, and you're going, but there's no speedometer. And so I had it to mechanic. In fact, I had with me receipts from taking it to the mechanic and having it fixed, but it wasn't fixed. And so I presented all that to the judge, and while he's looking it over, I saved this one to the last. I said, and by the way, I purchased it from one of your police officers. And he looked up at me, and that I'd forewarned the police officer, and he was in the courtroom. Needless to say, I was not charged for my fine. But can you imagine standing before a judge in a criminal case? You're there, and you're about to be sentenced, and you don't know if this guy takes bribes. You don't know if he's corrupt. You don't know anything about him, but he's about ready to pass sentence down on you. I am so grateful that the God of the universe, the judge of everything, is both just, he's not corrupted, he's truthful, he's holy, he's righteous, and he's the one who will judge me. I learned at an early age what rebellion was. I don't know. I think it was 7 or 8. Before that, it really didn't register with me. But in my home growing up, my father was the judge and the dispenser of justice. And he set out the standard. And the standard in our household was, you will not hit your sisters. And it didn't matter what excuses I came up with, what additional information I could give him. But Dad, she pinched me. I don't care. I told you not to hit her. But Dad, that one scratched me. I told you, the standard is you will not hit your sister, son. Dad, they all ganged up and set on me. Truthfully. You will not hit your sisters. He was also the dispenser of penalties. I don't know what your upbringing was like, but did any of you have any parents who would say stuff to you before they punished you? You know, the talk. I hated talk. Just do it and let's get out of here. And here's some of the words that my dad would say. He would say, son, I love you, and I'm doing this because I love you. Yeah, if you love me, you'd let me go. I mean, when you're 8, 9 years old, that's the way you think. And then he would say these corny stuff like, this hurts me more than it hurts you. No, it doesn't. Any of you have parents that do that kind of stuff? And I usually was in a hurry to get out of his presence after I had been whipped. But I remember the first time I saw him after he whipped me. Well, back then, men would carry in their pockets white handkerchiefs. It was just kind of a thing to do. I think it was a cultural thing. And I remember my dad pulling his handkerchief out of his pockets and wiping the tears from his eyes. I thought as a kid, maybe it doesn't hurt. It does hurt him as much as it hurts me. I'll tell you what I did. I began to connect justice with love. As a kid, it was very important for me that I began to understand my dad did punish me with love. You know, some of the things that come into our life are a result of our foolish choices, our wrong doings. You know, if I get lung cancer and I was 4-pack-a-day person, can I blame God? But what about the person who never smoked a day in their life? Make any difference? You know, God is just, even though I don't understand his ways. I don't know what all he's doing, but I do know this, there came a day in my life after I came to faith in Jesus Christ that I realized something. And you need to realize this. If you don't get anything else out of this morning's worship, it's this. Justice and love exist in the same person. I know God today not as my judge, but as my loving heavenly Father who continually calls me to accountability. Do you realize if you are a Christ follower, you've come to personal faith in Jesus, you've realized you're a sinner, you're under the curse, you're going to die. That's inevitable. But you're going to die because of sin. And God, like my daddy, put out the standard. He said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you have come to realize you're a sinner and you can't fix yourself, you can't do enough church, you can't be religious enough, but you just in humble faith, you believe that Jesus died on the cross in your place, and you've accepted his death through faith that believes and confesses and repents. Boy, if there's something left out of today, it's repentance. You repent. You've begun to turn away from sin and turn to God. You've died to yourself. You surrendered yourself in baptism. But your faith is in Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, God is not your judge anymore. Do you get that? He's your loving Heavenly Father. Huge difference. Huge difference. But if you have not made that decision, then you still have a God who is just and fair. But I want you to know, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. And you shouldn't want to be in your shoes. As a rebellious sinner, here's what I did. I found grace in Christ who paid my penalty for me. You know, when we talk about pain, I began to think this week about the agony of the cross. I mean, it was the torture stick of the Roman world. It was the way they put people to death in the cruelest form. And they know how to do it to make people agonize, to lengthen it. Jesus suffered that cruel death for you and for me. And not only that, can you imagine? I'm thinking about all the sins in my life lumped together. Can you imagine all the sins of the world lumped together and put on Jesus on the cross? All the sins, all the sickness, all the death, he bore it all on the cross. You talk about pain and agony. He experienced that for me in my place. I was able to find grace in God who is just and fair made that way possible for me and for you. He's the one that's just and fair, even though we don't understand his ways. I became a parent, and I found that you are a protector when they're young, but when they become an adolescent, you're a judge. Because they continually come to you and they say, that is not fair. You had any kids? I bet they've said that to you, right? Dad, that's not fair. And many times our response is, life is not fair. It's not. And I think a part of growing up is realizing pain, agony, natural disasters, death is a part of who we're just going to live with that. But we have a God who is just and fair. And in his judgment, he has given us his own Son. He came in flesh so that you and I might have eternity in our spirit forever. Man, you talk about justice. You talk about salvation. You talk about grace and mercy. He's the God who gives it. Let's thank him for it. Father, I am so humbly thankful that doesn't matter what happens in my life. You know about it. You are in charge. You are sovereign. You can change the course of rivers. You can change the courses, the hearts of kings. Father, my prayer is you change our hearts to just sit on your lap and let you love us, put your arms around us. You love us so much, you gave your own Son for us. Father, I know a lot of us have stood before earthly judges, but I can't imagine standing before the judge of the universe and you not being my loving Heavenly Father. As Paul later dubs it, you're my spiritual daddy. And I know you're holding me accountable through the power of your Spirit, through the truth of your words. But Father, I am so grateful for your justice, for your fairness. No matter what pain, no matter how much death comes my way. May all of us know the grace that comes through finding Jesus Christ. That's why he came. He's the answer for all this brokenness, for the groaning of creation, for the pain that will one day stop. Thank you for that eternal hope, and that only comes through the sacrifice and pain of your Son. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen. As John has already said, we